Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hey, Tay, doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How's your week been? Did you have anything good to drink?
Well, unfortunately, I have not had any time to drink anything.
Unfortunately,
water
okay.
And Gatorade. You know, if you've listened to the Still Buff, the most recent Still Buff episode, then you will know that our life has consisted of SpongeBob. Yes. And Nemo, and that's where we're at every night. I mean, for the 2 weeks leading up to the opening of the show, that we were there every night till late. And then by the time you finally get to that first week in the show, you just feel like you've been beaten in the ground, and it's all you can do to hang on and have your energy to be able to perform and everything else. So now this week is kind of like a week of recovery there between the first weekend and the second weekend. We get to recover some, but I haven't recovered to the point where I can drink yet.
I gotta be
up to speed when I drink. Otherwise, I take one drink and fall asleep on the couch.
I feel like all of that would require a drink at the end of it, but you know, it's out there somewhere.
Well, usually it does. I mean, usually doing a show, what I want to do when I come home from the show, no matter how late it is have a few beers or a cocktail or something. One summer it was Ouzo.
I remember that.
Turned onto that Iraq, and I was drinking that Iraq each night, sipping on two or three little glasses of that. That was good. But I've been so tired that I hadn't been able to muster up to that. Now, this weekend's probably different. I've been catching up on my rest this week, so I'll probably be ready for a late night party here a few nights this weekend.
All right. Well, you can report back when that happens.
All right. How about you? You had any?
Well, I've been working a lot, but I have been working on a menu for the bar I'm working at. It's in the West Village. It's literally right where the Pride Parade goes by. Sunday is near Pride. So we're having a big Pride party. So I had to make a Pride menu that was very easy to execute because we are going to be absolutely swamped with business. So I've made a couple drinks, you know, try to obviously make things that were, you know, tasty, easy to just throw back, easy to make, but also had a little bit of history to them. And that sort of leads us to our topic today. So, you know, of course we've done a couple Pride adjacent episodes in the past. You know, mm-hmm. I like to always have a tie-in to alcohol history, but you know, alcohol history intersects with so much just in general history, and especially queer history, because just, you know, honestly, much organization and community could only really safely exist for decades in gay bars. That's mm-hmm. where our liberation came from with Stonewall. That's where, to this day, a lot of our organization comes from. So it's a big part of the history of gay rights in America.
And we're glad to have a tie-in to that, yeah, to go along with this episode.
Well, and I think this episode might be the quintessential like connecting point of gay history and cocktail history. And that is with one cocktail in particular, the Anita Bryant.
The Anita Bryant cocktail.
Yes. Is this something you'd ever heard? I know you've heard of the woman that is Anita Bryant, but had you ever heard of the drink before, Dad?
I had heard of Anita Bryant and the controversy surrounding her and everything, but I never knew there was an Anita Bryant cocktail.
All right. Well, before
I understand it though, it makes sense based on her connections and then what they were boycotting and everything.
Well, I hadn't, I knew who Anita Bryant was. I hadn't heard about the cocktail until now. I want to give credit where credit's due. I learned about this topic from actually a YouTube video by Natalie Nguyen, aka ContraPoints. She's a philosopher and a content creator and a writer. I love her stuff. And her most recent episode, she talked about Anita Bryant and more current, like modern day anti-gay activists. So if you want more, if this episode interests you, you should go check out her video. It's beautiful, but that's what gave me the inspiration and where I first heard about this drink. So of course the Anita Bryant cocktail, which we'll get to, is of course named after Anita Bryant. Now, if you're not familiar with her, you know, up until about 1969, mid 70s, you would have had a lot of lovely answers to the question, who is Anita Bryant? She was first entered on the sort of national stage as Miss Oklahoma in 1958. She was second runner up in the Miss America pageant in 1959. She had a fairly successful career as a recording artist, mainly just re-releasing covers of Broadway hits. But, you know, she had an album reach gold. She toured with Bob Hope to entertain the troops and was awarded the Silver Medallion Award for the National Guard for outstanding service. And she performed at the White House. You know, in her personal life, she married a popular Miami disc jockey named Bob Green. They had four kids together. And she was also eventually became a very successful face in commercials. She advertised for Coca-Cola, Kraft Foods, Tupperware, and most important to our story, in 1969, she became the face of Florida orange juice.
That's right. It's with a day without orange juice is a day without sunshine.
Oh. She even recorded with the orange bird. That's a mm-hmm. little Disney character. They sang songs together. Now that's very funny she would become. I don't think that mm-hmm. orange bird would be cut dead with Anita Bryant these days.
Right. Because they got the rights to use it from Disney.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing, like Anita, you could have had such a nice legacy if you just stuck mm-hmm. to reheated show tunes and cartoon birds, but you couldn't. So the same year she began advertising for Florida orange juice, and a very important historical event took place on June 28th of 1969. Of course, the Stonewall riots brought gay rights to the forefront of the national conversation. And over the course of the next several years, in response to Stonewall, cities and counties throughout America began passing non-discrimination laws to protect gay citizens from eviction, from wrongful termination, from, you know, any sort of abuse due to their sexual orientation.
And she decided that she didn't like that when Dade County, which was right in the orange juice country, when they passed that law, she decided she didn't like it. So she got together a group and they spoke out against it and rallied to overturn it.
Yes. So in 1977, and by all accounts, the non-discrimination ordinance they wanted to pass was pretty tame. It was really just like, gay people get basic human rights. That was it. But she rallied her troops. She launched the Save Our Children movement organization, which, this is the kind of the sad thing as I was going through this. And Dad, I feel like you probably had some of these moments too, where it's like, this rhetoric sounds really familiar. It's the rhetoric that's being used against queer people, specifically trans people right now. This idea that the problem is that they're a danger to our children. They're trying to recruit our children. It's the same mm-hmm. rhetoric.
Yeah. She went through this very detailed reasoning that, it's obvious that homosexuals cannot have children. They can't reproduce. It's impossible. Therefore, the only way to maintain or increase their ranks are to recruit our children into their forces. And that's what they're doing. And, you know, they made the connection always that homosexuality was the same as pedophiles.
Right.
That, you know, they put those two together, and that was just for the outrage factor and to, you know, try to get people fired up into your camp.
Well, which again, still the exact same move being used today. Like, it's upsetting how rehashed yeah. this dialogue is, this specific tactic, that it still works, that you can just go, oh, no, think of the children. And everyone goes, oh, no, the children. Mm-hmm.
We've got the book bans that don't say gay. And then, I mean, put Roe v. Wade in there, too. That's 50 years of progress that we had that we just reverted back.
Yeah. Well, and I hope, just in case, you know, any straight people are confused. Do you know who actually does give birth to gay people? I mean, gay people can, of course, but also straight people. That's how it happens. Because, you know,
well, that's what her reasoning almost was. If we don't let them have our kids, then they will eventually all die out because they can't reproduce their own. And so then we're rid of them. We won't have any more homosexuality in the world. There is no more gays anywhere. So
straight people are birthing new gay people every day all around the world. I'm so sorry to let you know this.
I don't think she figured that out.
Well, and I mean, this was, you know, this became her big, her big campaign. And this was actually like a big deal because gay rights were just starting to get some headway on a national landscape. And this was scary to queer activists because if she could win in Florida, if this big recognized celebrity beloved figure could get this ordinance reversed, like, what happens to every other bit of advancement that's been passed? Like, what happens to the future of gay rights? This was a big, scary challenge to basic human rights for gay people in America. So queer activists, they tried to respond in a number of ways, you know, raise money, send money to Florida to support the people fighting this there. But the one sort of targeted response that we're going to talk about today is what is considered the first gay boycott, the first boycott in the name of queer rights, as they called it, a gaycott. And the target was, of course, her Florida orange juice.
Yeah, they put the pressure on her. That's where most of her money and fame was coming from at the time. So they figured, well, we'll get everybody to get on board and boycott the orange juice, give them a bad name.
Yep. It was thought to have first been like envisioned and implemented in a gay bar on Polk Street in San Francisco. San Francisco was sort of the hub for this movement, although it eventually spread around the country. And it was promoted by a young Harvey Milk before he was elected to office. He was one of the big proponents of, like, you know, it's not, he's quoted as saying, like, before Bright becomes more powerful, remember that your one can of orange juice adds up to millions of one cans throughout the nation. You know, like the power of just one person resisting multiplied by millions has power. He also offered pineapple juice as an alternative, which, sure, I guess the pineapple lobby was like, we don't explicitly hate anybody, or at least we won't say so out loud. Go pineapple juice. And gay bars, as well as like a lot of just regular bars in support of gay rights, would hang signs declaring that they would not serve orange juice. And this is, you know, you might be thinking, like, yeah, but how much power can that have? Because how much, you know, if you work in a bar nowadays, you break out the orange juice for brunch to make a few mimosas. It's not like a popular ingredient. But this was the 70s.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Screwdrivers and tequila sunrises were two of the most popular drinks at any bar you went to.
Yeah.
And those both involve orange juice.
Well, and Alabama Slammers, Harvey Wallbangers. Well, and that was not by accident. The orange juice lobbies had done a lot of work to get orange juice out of the breakfast table, to get it into the bar scene, to work with liquor companies, to start promoting these drinks. Like, it was very much a design that orange juice became a staple behind bars. And so that gave it a lot more power. I mean, like, you know, like the bars would that had backstock of orange juice would make big shows of dumping it out on the streets all at like organized times in San Francisco. So it was a very big sign to the Florida orange juice. This is a problem.
Well, the other thing is too, as far as the orange juice companies, even if you weren't losing massive profits, even if it was just a minute amount, you're getting a lot of bad press every day because you're being tied to that. So that still doesn't look good. And if you're thinking about, well, what can we do for next year? Well, maybe we don't need that problem. Maybe we need to cut bait and run there. You know, we don't need Anita Bryant. Well, let's stick with Bing Crosby. He's doing a pretty good job. We so far, none of his sins have come forward. So maybe we should just stick with Bing Crosby and get rid of Anita Bryant.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, when we talk about like rainbow capitalism, which I know a lot of people talk disdainfully, like anytime a big company comes out in support of queer rights, it's like, oh, they're doing this as a money grab. And like, yes, of course, I don't have stars in my eyes. I understand that. But it also means that somebody ran the metrics and said, hey, we'll make more money this way than being against this. And that is still a sign of general acceptance. And I mean, this, however people felt at this time period in a personal way about gay people, it put a bad taste in a lot of even, you know, not even just activists, not queer people, just regular consumers just were like, well, I don't need all this with my orange juice.
Well, I remember on, I forget what the name of that, I think it was Son of a Sailor, Jimmy Buffett put out. One of the songs on there was Cowboy in the Jungle. And at the end of his song, he put in there, and I hope Anita Bryant never, ever does one of my songs.
Good.
That was in the ending, you know. So there was a lot of people, even old Jimmy Buffett had something to say about Anita Bryant.
Well, and that's to sort of add to the bad press. Like, yeah, a lot of other celebrities, you know, they were making fun of Anita Bryant, which was obviously interpreted as a support of gay rights. Mm-hmm. You know, people like Johnny Carson making her the butt of jokes, Vincent Price taking shots at her, like mm-hmm. big names who were making her a laughing stock, which was all bad for the Florida Citrus Company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and for, you know, in a lot of these bars, like they would have workarounds, like you can bring your own orange juice, but it can't be from Florida, or you can bring your oranges and squeeze them at the bar. We'll give you a hand squeezer, but they also cannot be from Florida. But one, the drink that emerged from this, the subject of today's episode, was, of course, in the screwdriver being very popular at the time, to sub out the orange juice and use apple juice instead, and they dubbed it the Anita Bryant.
The Anita Bryant, just in your face. Here, we're going to use apple juice. You don't make anything off of that.
I kind of love, like, and I don't know if it was thought of this way, but I also like that the sort of symbolism because of how religious she was using the apple, you know, oh no, the forbidden fruit of the Garden of Eden. I think it's good.
Yeah, the pineapple probably said, damn it, we were right there.
we were cool with it. What happened?
Yeah, we came out and we said, hey, we're not against anybody, but they took the apple. Damn it. We were this close to having a big drink.
Well, the Anita Bryant became a defiant order in bars across the country. And of course, Anita used this to be sort of have a martyring moment for herself. Like, oh, they're coming after my livelihood, which, I mean, yeah, that's very much true. Mm-hmm. But at first, the Florida orange juice, you know, sort of PR side of things, stayed quiet, which a lot of people interpreted as support by omission. They're not coming out. Mm-hmm. And saying they don't agree with her. They made very flabby statements like, she's a private citizen, she's allowed to have beliefs outside of her job. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not also around, it's not part of the story, but just also, you know, as another form of protest, she was famously pied in the face.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some guy that went around and did that as a protest thing. In the 70s or early 80s, something like that. And he did get her one time. Yeah. And the husband went after him with a pie to get him back.
She made some snide comment, like, because I guess she said, oh, well, it's a fruit pie because gay people are fruits. Like, I don't, okay.
Yeah.
But I only offer that because if you're looking for a pairing, if you want to have a pride brunch and you want a pairing with your Anita Bryant cocktail, might I recommend a fruit pie?
Fruit pie and Anita Bryant.
The whole like side industry of t-shirts and pins with slogans like Anita Bryant sucks oranges became all the rage at this time. Also like a day without, you know, the whole a day without orange juice is like a day without sunshine slogan mm-hmm. was repurposed as a protest chant and a sign, which was a day without human rights is like a day without sunshine. I've also seen mm-hmm. fun variants at modern day marches, like a day without lesbians is like a day without sunshine.
Yeah. Well, you know, and probably the orange juice companies at first, they kind of sat back to wait to see which way this went, because they probably wouldn't wade in right away because they might choose the wrong side. So they probably mm-hmm. wanted to see how this thing was going before they ever chimed in, you know.
It took them a while. And it honestly took till after, you know, the sad part of the story is despite the best efforts of the protesters, the anti-discrimination ordinance was overturned in a 2-1 vote. So mm-hmm. Miami-Dade County did no longer provided basic human rights for the queer community. And this was, of course, celebrated as a win by the Save the Children, Anita Bryant, and what's his name? Falwell was one of her early
Jerry
supporters.
Jerry Falwell, yeah.
If you're in line with Jerry Falwell, I don't care like how you feel about anything. If Jerry Falwell's on your side, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing. The boycotts, the news coverage of the protests, the news coverage of the Pine incident, the celebrities making jokes about her, this whole thing launched the idea of gay rights into the mainstream, into everybody's home in America. And that ultimately was good for the movement. You know, it was a wake-up call to gay activists. They needed to organize and they needed representation. This is one of the things that led Harvey Milk to run for and win election as the first out gay person in public office. And then ultimately this change to Anita's public image from being this wholesome singer to a fire and brimstone hate monger was enough for in 1978. So just a year after all this went down to drop her as their, you know, spokesperson, she was fired.
Yeah. And it took, even though they overturned that about 5 or 6 years later, they were reinstated the protections for discrimination due to sexual orientation.
Yeah. And I got, you know, I think that that's in retrospect. I feel like it's the karmic pie in the face that because she used her very public platform to talk about gay rights, it ultimately gave that size platform to the people that were fighting for it. So thank you, Anita.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, you'd think, you know, it's one of those things. Don't be careful. Don't wake a sleeping giant. And that's kind of what she did because she attacked him in that manner. And so it brought about a joined response, you know?
Yeah. It was sort of a, and I think this is, I mean, even now, I think honestly, we're in a similar position because I think there is this assumption and it's also honestly an assumption that I feel like when I was younger, I believed that, yeah, things move forward. They might take time, but things do move forward. And honestly, if you look at history, you realize that that's just not true. Things can be pushed back. Like you were saying, 50 years, a century, we can go back to the past with a couple rulings and a couple court cases and lose so much ground that you have to constantly push. You have to constantly fight. You have to constantly keep your eye on the people that don't think you have deserve basic human rights. Cause they're, I don't know if they're going to go away, but you can't just count on things slowly moving forward as they should. That's never going to happen. Exactly what we're dealing with now. I think we all kind of got lulled to sleep in the last like decade. We're like, oh no, what's going on?
And you can't just assume that because it's fixed, it's going to stay fixed. You have to constantly stay vigilant and keep pushing and reminding people, this is why this is important. This isn't just a me issue. This is a, you know, all human issue. You know, if they came for us for this, they might come for you for that.
Exactly. Well, I do like that as sort of a again, like a bit of a karmic return on this story. I mean, not only did she lose her job from Florida Orange Juice, she was divorced a few years later, which, interestingly enough, brought down the ire of a lot of the Christian community on her because, oh, so homosexuality bad, but divorce fine? Because like if you're running with those extremist people, like that's also a thing you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, she tried to return to that Christian community and they said, oh, no, you're divorced. And that violates our tenets of what we think is proper. So they wouldn't accept her back into the Christian community either because she'd been divorced.
Yeah.
And she had to declare bankruptcy twice.
She kept trying to relaunch her music career after all that, and it just would not take off. I like that one of the songs that she tried when she was trying to get back out there, she had a song called There's nothing as beautiful as there's nothing like the love between a man and a woman. Like, okay. All right, Anita. But nothing happened. Nothing took off for her. You know, she eventually retired from public life. And now I love that one of her grandchildren, one of her granddaughters, came out as queer. I don't know exactly how she identifies, but she's married to a woman. She recently married a woman, and mm-hmm. she was open about, like, I don't know if I'm going to invite my grandmother to the wedding. If she maybe, like, I don't know, apologized, I would, but I, nothing, there were no apologies. So she was not invited to her granddaughter's wedding. And I think that's the ultimate, like, just the end to the story there. It's like, yes, you produced, that's how queer people reproduce. You were part of that. Like, you led to the production of a queer person.
Exactly. You know, you just take the stance that it's these other people that are these, you know, degenerates out there, and we need to separate them from us. Well, let me tell you something. They are us, you know, they came from us, and, you know, you will have a member of your family, you know, that will fall into that category in some manner or another. So be careful how big the rocks are that you're throwing in that glass house.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, as a legacy to Anita Bryant, obviously we have the drink, which I, you know, it's not like the most delicious drink. Just be a screwdriver isn't all that great. It's fine. Anita Bryant is also just fine. But for, I was messing around with it because I've got a cocktail with vodka and apple juice on my Pride menu. It's a little bit fancied up, but, I'm calling it the Anita Riot.
Is that all the original drink was? I was thinking there was a third ingredient.
Nope, it was just that. It was just orange juice instead of, or apple juice instead of orange juice and vodka.
Well, I don't say never. When I was a kid, I drank apple juice, but I just don't really care for apple juice now. So I don't think I would like that.
Well, for my cocktail, I made two versions of it. One is a more reproducible for the big party, but then also I made one personally, and so I did. I used apple cider to make like an apple cider syrup with vodka mm-hmm. and lemon, and then topped it with bubbles. So that's what I would recommend if you want to.
That's much more fancy. That's too fancy for Anita Bryant, though. Yeah, I wouldn't put her name on there.
I don't. We'll redub it the Mrs. Green after her granddaughter. Or her granddaughter's wife, actually.
I was going to say, whatever the granddaughter's name is, call it that. Yeah.
Mrs. Green. That's what it is. Well, there you go. There's a little bit of queer history, a little bit of cocktail history, and a little bit of American history.
All rolled into one.
Oh. And hopefully we'll push through this current, I don't know, backlash against people just saying, I just want to live. That's all it ever amounts to.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so hard.
I just hope it doesn't take 50 more years to get back to where we were 50 years ago.
Well, and it's not like we've talked about this on one of our first Pride episodes. We talked about the pansy craze, which was a movement, a fad in like the 1920s to 30s, where it was normal to go see like drag queens and queer nightlife performers were very normal in American culture. This is like pre-code Hollywood. And before you had like the Red Scare, which was partnered with like the Lavender Scare. So this isn't even just like, oh, this is the first time history has repeated itself. This was the 70s. Back in the 20s to the 30s to the 40s, we had the same thing happen where, hey, it's okay to be queer or gay or play around with gender presentation. Like, that's all fine. Nobody cares. That was the way it was in the 20s. It's like, oops, no, put it all back in the closet. Get to the 70s, like, hey, it's okay to be all these things. Oh, no, put it back in the closet. Now we're in the mid, you know, the 2020s, and we're dealing with the same stuff. Can we just, everybody, please learn your queer history. Learn it.
If you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I mean, it's not just the queer history. I mean, look at racism, how mm-hmm. it has risen back up. And somehow it's suddenly okay to be a white supremacist. You've got presidential candidates talking about it and identifying with people and having people speak and promote them. I don't understand how these things can suddenly be okay.
Well, I think, and you know, the thing is that that's the same lobby that, you know, wants the Don't Say Gay bill also doesn't want, you know, anything related to like critical race theory taught in schools. It's the same people because, and I'm going to go ahead mm-hmm. and say, if you're on the side, just like with Jerry Falwell, if you're on the side that thinks that certain aspects of history shouldn't be taught, you're on the wrong side. Like, that is, there's a reason.
If you're afraid of history, then it's for the wrong reasons.
Because that's it. Like, if we did learn from it, then we wouldn't repeat it. So they don't want your kids to be educated so that they'll fall prey to the same scare tactics that have worked decade after decade. So, you know, here we are again.
That's why John Lennon's Imagine is my favorite, one of their songs ever.
Yeah.
It's just talking about just letting people live.
Well, I think that's, I mean, I love that song and I agree. That's just, that's what most of us just want that. Like, it's not hard to just do that. You don't, that's all I always say. Like, I don't care if anybody actually looks at me and is like, yeah, I agree with your lifestyle and I believe that you're trans. I don't actually care. Just don't make life harder on me because it's already hard. We don't have to be best friends. You don't have to get me. You just have to give me space to exist. And I, in turn, will give you space to exist. And that's it. It's a big country. We all can have space to exist.
Amen.
Anita Bryant. She's still alive. She's out there being angry about things. Can you imagine being just old and angry? Like, your grandchildren are going to forgive you and love you if you just say, like, hey, I'm sorry for starting a war against you and people like you. And you're just like, no, I'd rather sit here and be mad.
Do you ever think that maybe she thinks, you know, maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut?
Right? You used to be like, oh, you know, I'm sure there are lots of people out there that think certain things, but they're at least smart enough to keep their mouth shut. But
I would be beloved and people would still like me and I'd get to sing songs or I would have had a longer career. I wouldn't have been bankrupt twice.
I could have gone to my granddaughter's wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know. Make your choices. Just, you know, deal with the consequences, I guess.
Just be human.
All right. Well, thank you for this, joining me on this little historical little side quest.
Well, thanks for coming up with the topic and bringing me along.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
Like I say, I knew Anita Bryant, but I did not know the cocktail.
Well, now we all do. And I encourage all of you, hey, drink it the way it is or make a fun new variation and name it after your favorite, your favorite queer person in your life. Why not? And I hope you all have a happy Pride, whether you are a member of the community or an ally. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Dad, of course, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I always learn something.
All right. If you want to find us on the internet, we are neattheboozecast@gmail.com. You can email us your questions, your comments. We have a Patreon. You can check us out over there if you want to support us. Meet the Boozecast on Instagram if you want to find us over there, and of course if you want to talk about your, I don't know, whatever Pride drinks of choice, you can do that.
Meet the Boozecast group page on Facebook.
Go there, do that.
Alright,
I have been Taylor Snow.
I've been Tommy Squirrel,
and this has been
Anita Bryant never ever listened to our podcast.
I'm sure Valley thinks podcasts are the devil's work too.
Yeah. Well, just make her listen to all of them. That would kill her.
There you go. I don't know. I hope she gets lots of pie this Pride season.